Oh, some of us think, oh, what would really fulfill me is a nice relationship. And you get that relationship, it don't fulfill you. You move on to the next one. That's not what will fulfill you. To be fulfilled, we need to be in the center of God's will. And I trust that's what will happen to you this morning.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the hard-hitting first part of this message broadcast last week, Pastor Brian Grant took to task every Christian who may be tempted to think freedom in Christ means freedom to live life however one chooses. He reminded us how God has a plan, a master plan, a plan for each and every one of us that begins to unfold the moment we take Christ as Savior and Lord. Last week, Pastor Grant pointed out how the original wording of the text in Ephesians 4, verse 1, indicates the worthy walk the Lord demands from every believer is a balanced walk, a life in which belief is balanced by one's behavior. He also stressed the critical importance of every believer knowing what it is they believe by getting to know God's Word, the Bible. This evening, we pick up the second part of this message with Pastor Grant finishing an illustration taken from the production of The Lion King with the fast-living young Simba being brought to his senses. We invite our listeners to visit our church website at www.tcafamilychurch.org to view the entire message in video. But please turn in your Bibles now to Ephesians 4 and verses 1 through 16 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings this message entitled The Worthy Walk to a conclusion. Here once again is Pastor Grant.
One day, Simba had a vision in that reflecting pool. And who did he see? He saw his father, Mufasa. And Mufasa said, Simba, remember who you are. You are my son. You are the one true king. And that day Simba decided, enough of this Hakuna Matata stuff. Simba decided to return home. Simba decided to embrace his calling. God is saying to somebody here this morning, remember who you are. You are my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. The one made in my image. My masterpiece. A trophy of my grace. I have a plan for you. And this morning God is challenging some young person, some older person, that it's time to put aside the Hakuna Matata life. It's time to put that aside and it's time to embrace your calling. It's time to decide, God, if you have a plan for me, I want to discover your plan and I want to live out your plan. Listen, why should I walk worthy? Number one, I should walk worthy because God has a plan for me. And if I don't, I'll miss it. But the second reason I need to walk worthy is because of God's provision. You see, God realizes that the plan he has for you and for me cannot be done, cannot be achieved in your natural ability. You still awake? Because God knows the plan cannot be achieved with your natural ability, God has actually equipped every Christian with something supernatural. You see, every Christian, God has given one or more spiritual gifts
You say, what is a spiritual gifts? Look in your notes, we have it there for you. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to each Christian at their conversion, so that they can execute their part in God's mission for His church on earth. Don't miss this. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Are you still in Ephesians verse chapter 4? This time we're going to look at verse number 7. Ephesians 4 verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Every Christian, are you with me this morning? Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. Do you know what yours is? These are not natural abilities. These are not natural abilities that you were born with. These are special gifts that God supernaturally gave you at salvation so that you can execute your part in God's game plan. You say, how can I find that out? Well, I'm not going to dig deep in there. That's for another message. But let me just say this. If you want to really discover your gift, I'm saying this to you. When you decide to get serious about God and walking with God, when you get serious about getting involved in ministry for God, you will start finding out your gift. Let me take you here to Ephesians 4 verse 16. Ephesians 4 verse 16. I'm going to start reading for sake of connection from verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Don't miss this. It says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies. Every Christian has something to supply. Did you see that? Every Christian has something to supply. And then it goes on, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. God has uniquely equipped you. Each of us is uniquely equipped to run a play in God's game plan. Did you hear what I'm saying? Each of us is uniquely equipped to run a play in God's game plan. And if you fail to do your part, it messes up the whole team. And my friend, I want to tell you that as you get involved, two things are going to happen. You're going to suddenly find out that you actually have some passions you never had before. You know, one of the ways to discover your gift is that God, as you start exercising the gift, you'll suddenly realize, but wait, where did this passion come from? The second way you're going to find your gift is from confirmation. The people are going to see you running your play, and they're going to say, you know you have that gift. Did you know you have such and such a gift? So it starts by my mobilizing, getting involved, and doing what God wants me to do. Amen. We each have a unique role to play, so make sure you're carrying out your assignment. Oh, I wish I could help you to understand what I'm talking about this morning. We've got a part to play. You know, game one of the 2018 NBA Finals. Some of you probably saw it in game one. It was the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors. Game one had a finish that is probably never will be forgotten. J.R. Smith of the Cavaliers missed his assignment. And because he missed his assignment, his team that should have been one up and changed the whole trajectory of the finals. His team lost game one and ended up losing 4-0 in the whole series. But let me tell you what happened to J.R. Smith. Less than 10 seconds to go, and the Warriors are up by 1 point. Now I think that all of us know enough about basketball to know you get how many points for a shot. If you score, it's what, two points? So all the Cavaliers needed was one shot, one basket. Well, less than 10 seconds to go, the Cavaliers take a free throw. It bounces off of the rim and it falls into the hand of J.R. Smith. He's right under the basket. He's under Golden State's basket. All he has to do is to put the ball in there. The boy's taller, just put the thing in. And if you don't want to put it in yourself, pass it to LeBron. Let him ice the game. You all saw it, who saw it? But what do you think the boy did? He is 1 point behind. He only needs 2 points. He's right there. The boy turned around and started dribbling away from the basket. Everybody's shouting to him, shoot! Come on! Just shoot! So when they asked him, what happened? You know what he thought? He said, I thought my team was ahead. I thought we were ahead and I was just running out the clock. Is that why you're running out the clock? You know, I'm serious now. There are too many Christians sitting on the bench. Too many Christians who are pretending they're in the game, but they're not making a play. They're not taking the shot. And it's time, young person, older person, it's time for you to take the shot. It's time for you to get in the game. I want you to know, my friend, you will never be truly fulfilled in life until you are achieving and executing God's plan for you. You can write that in your notes today, that you heard that today, whatever today date is, okay? So today I was told that if I don't execute God's plan, I will never be truly fulfilled in my life. If you're a Christian, you cannot be truly fulfilled in your life unless you do what God wants you to do. Because God made you for a purpose. Think of it. God made you for a purpose. And if you refuse to fulfill His purpose, you will never be truly fulfilled in life. And you can keep bouncing from person to person. Oh, some of us think, oh, what would really fulfill me is a nice relationship. And you get that relationship, it don't fulfill you. You move on to the next one. That's not what will fulfill you. To be fulfilled, we need to be in the center of God's will. And I trust that's what will happen to you this morning.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But listen, I better move along. Number one, three reasons why we should walk worthy. Number one, because God has a special plan for us. Number two, because of God's provision. But finally, because of God's perfecting. Verse number 11 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. And here's how it reads. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And here's the verse I'm focusing on. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to a perfect man. Listen,
The Spirit of God is working in us to perfect us. Put this in your notes. The Spirit of God is working in us to perfect us, to bring us to what the King James Version calls perfection, and the new NIV calls maturity. Did you see that? God is working in us to bring us to perfection or to maturity. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church in Philippians chapter 2, he lets us know that God is at work in us. But here's what he says. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to do his pleasure. What God is saying is that we're to work out what God is working in. God is trying to perfect us, but it does require our participation. It does require effort on our part. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he goes on to say, listen, he's pressing towards the mark. He uses a picture of an athlete who is getting close to the tape. And as that athlete gets close to the tape, he's giving it everything he's got. You've watched them. He's giving, and he's going to reach forward. He's going to try and get through the tape first. The Apostle Paul says, I'm pressing to the mark. If we're going to walk worthy, it is going to take effort. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was in high school, I was a very, very average, or probably below average, student in math. But one year, the school got this teacher from Europe. I'll never forget her, because she revolutionized my life. Mrs. Kirkpatrick. Mrs. Kirkpatrick came to the school, and she was now my math teacher. And she saw something in me that I didn't see. She thought I had potential. And she was so confident in me. She was so encouraging. Everything turned. Wow. In no time, I was actually, well, I better not say it. It may be. Bottom line, I was pretty good. It was because she had confidence with me, and I worked. Do you know that God has confidence in you? Yes. And all I want to ask you, are you willing to make effort for him? Are you willing to put the effort into walking worthy? Is he worth it? Put that effort. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Don't worry, we're not coming back to Ephesians, because I'm trying to land this plane. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's what it says in verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 9. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. The apostles, listen, he is going to give all the effort he can to please God. Is that your commitment this morning? After a while, I discovered, in fact, it didn't take so long to realize the effort I was making to please Mrs. Kirkpatrick actually was going to pay some dividends. Because not long after that, what happened? What came? The examinations. I had to do the exams. And I found out I was very well prepared, because I had made the effort to please Mrs. Kirkpatrick. I was prepared. Now let me ask you this. Are you aware that when we leave earth, every Christian has an exam? I don't believe many Christians realize it. I think the average Christian figure, it's up to me. If I want to live for Jesus, fine. If I don't want to live for Jesus, fine. I just want you to know there is an exam coming up. He said, Pastor, show that to me. I don't believe you. Well, you don't even have to look far. Just look at the next verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Look at what it says here. the apostle is saying he's trying, he's doing everything to please the Lord in verse 9. Why? Verse 10. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Every Christian must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm just glad that it's not a decision as to whether you go to hell or not. Because the day you said yes to Jesus and meant it, that day salvation came to your house. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's not a decision about whether we go to heaven or hell. But before I tell you what it is, let me just throw this in. Because there is another judgment. You see, the Christian has to deal with the judgment seat of Christ. The unsaved, there's a judgment that Revelation chapter 20 talks about. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that judgment, every unsaved person, people who don't know Jesus as Savior, everybody appears. And the Bible says at that judgment, there is no, you don't even get a chance to say, well, God, I did this and I did, you don't get it. Every mouth is stopped. The Bible says anybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life is cast into the lake of fire. And I need to ask you, young man, young lady, older person, is your name in that book? Are you sure? Because there's some things in life that you must be sure about. My friend, if your name is not written in that book, when you get to that great judgment, the Bible says you will be cast into the lake of fire. Listen, along with the devil for eternity. And I wouldn't even want my enemy. I don't really think I have any. But if I had one, I don't even want them to go. Today, you can make a decision. So what is this judgment seat of Christ? At the judgment seat of Christ, you can put this down in your notes. Our life since salvation will be examined. God will reward us for our faithfulness to Him since salvation. God is going to ask an accounting about what did you do since you got saved. The tragedy. Some Christians are going to be there with empty hands. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, don't turn to it, you can put it in your notes and look it up later. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it describes the picture at what hands at the judgment seat of Christ. And it talks about some Christians who everything they did, all their works is going to be burned up. All of what they thought was impressive, it's all going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. And then it makes a statement that really, when I was a teenager in my late teens, this verse changed my life. Because it said that at the judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be Christians who are escaping just as if by fire. In other words, there are Christians who are going to escape with the smell of smoke on them. They will just barely have may escaped hell. They were saved for 15, 20, 25, 30 years. And they did absolutely nothing. They went to heaven empty handed because they sat on the bench. They ran out the game. And God is asking every one of us this morning, are you going to continue running out the game? Or are you going to this morning say, God, it's my time. God, I'm ready to serve you. God, I'm ready to walk with you. God, I'm ready for this worthy walk. God, I want to discover your plan. God, I want to know what my gifts are and I want to use them. God, I want to enter heaven mature, with rewards to show and to lay at your feet because of a life well lived, a life lived to the glory of God. And I'm going to ask you, my friend, I was only in my late teens when I decided, God, enough of just being a Christian. I'm ready to live for you. I'm ready to walk with you. I'm ready for you to use me. And I'm going to ask some of you who have been hanging around, would you make your commitment today? You may only be 12, 13, 15, 17, it doesn't matter. 25, 35, it doesn't matter. Sir, young man, it's time! Make that decision. And if you're not sure you're saved, come to Jesus and ask Him to save you today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.